What's up, you guys? This is Stardom alum, former two-time NXT Women's Champion, former two-time WWE Tag Team Champion, current WWE Superstar, Shayna Two-Time, and you are listening to the awesome, the one and only Wrestle In.
Hello once again, and welcome back to Total Nonstop Talking, the podcast where we are all about TNA and we never shut up about it. I am Fusa, and my two hosts this month are Steve and Casey once again. And oh my god, it has been a very, very, very busy 30 days or so since we last recorded. And let's just jump into the really big one. Scott D'Amore is gone. TNA had fired him from the company. He is no longer a part of TNA or Anthem as a whole. A statement was put out from TNA or Anthem and TNA announcing that he was released or his contract was terminated. The new president of the company is Anthony Cecconi. They put out the following statement back on February 7th. Anthony Cecconi named to president of TNA Wrestling, Anthem Sports and Entertainment Incorporated, a global multi-platform media company, announced today the appointment of Anthony Cecconi as the president of TNA Wrestling. The move aims to further integrate TNA Wrestling into Anthem's entertainment group, of which Cecconi is the president, leveraging the entire company's resources to add more value in areas including production, distribution, marketing, viewership, customer acquisition, digital revenue streams, ad sales and sponsorships, digital tech operations, and more. Cecconi replaces Scott D'Amore, whose contract with Anthem has been terminated. D'Amore has been part of TNA since 2003. He held many key leadership positions and played a vital role in the growth of the company, leading to its strong industry reputation today, including the successful return of TNA Wrestling brand in 2024. Anthem thanks him for the commitment he brought to the business, the talent, and the people who work outside the ring. In addition to these duties, as president of entertainment, Cecconi will manage day-to-day business operations of TNA Wrestling. He brings more than 30 years of executive-level management experience to the organization. Cecconi has been with Anthem for the last 16 years, managing technical operations and multiple cable and digital channels. Prior to this time, with Anthem, Cecconi was a producer of sports content, including capitulating the score to success by bringing WWE to the channel. This is a lot. This was a lot to kind of have my day interrupted on earlier this month. What were you guys' kind of like initial reactions to the firing of Scott D'Amore just so abruptly?
I just didn't see it coming. It's, I mean, 2023 was wild and you know, in the world of wrestling, and 2024 has been even more extreme so far to start the year. This was just an incredible story. Scott D'Amore is universally loved by the talent and by the fans of what he's done for TNA in the last few years, especially. And it's just an incredible decision.
Yeah, it's like, it's a complete shock, honestly. Like, you can tell that, like, Scott, like, really love TNA, and you can tell he put his like blood, sweat, and tears like into making what it is today. And you can tell that just from like all the talent, not just the wrestlers, but all the behind the scenes guys, like showing their love for him. And I don't want to like assume the worst from Anthem, that they can just undo all the hard work that was done the past few years, but it's going to be hard to see TNA grow like the rest of this year and further on without Scott like leading the charge.
Yeah. It feels Jim Herd WCW. For those that remember that time where they appointed a non-wrestling exec in charge of the company, and with all best efforts that he had, he just didn't know how to run a wrestling company. And I know Anthony's got a bit more experience, you know, from the involvement with the score in WWE, but it's not the same running a TV show and an entertainment platform as it is running, you know, a wrestling organization.
This is just happening days after this whole thing that happened with Stardom and Rossi Agawa. So it's not completely a copy and paste of that situation, but it's very similar to it, where like they were, they like helped with the company get to where it is today. They put in so much work. They had a good position at the company, and now they're just being replaced by someone who has next to no experience of wrestling. And the thing is with Ciccione having experience with the score is that it's less of a thing of that it was anything to do with like a TV show or like booking or anything like that with like wrestling. The score is what was a channel in Canada that was like about had a lot of coverage of like sports and stuff. Basically, like they were just like a sports center, but like on loop for like ESPN Sports Center, but on loop, but in Canada. And he basically just had WWE move from TSN to the score, and then just have the score become a bigger channel. And then they got bought out by Sportsnet or Rogers here in Canada and became Sportsnet 360. And now there's nothing about the score other than like a sports app to get notifications. His like involvement, I put kind of ink air quotes here, is that he worked for a TV channel and he got WWE on the TV channel. So it's a very similar kind of situation with Stardom, how they kind of appointed some higher ups from within Bushiroad as like the head bookers and stuff for Stardom. And now we're looking at a higher up in Anthem becoming like the president of the company and take care of all that stuff. But the same day as Scott's firing, there was a whole lot of love and support towards him. Tweets from current talent and former talent alike, such as Moose, Jackson Stone, Trinity, Kylan King, Gia Miller, Tasha Steeles, Jordy Threat, Jake Something, Steve Macklin, Josh Alexander, Frankie Kazarian, David Penzer, Jordan Grace, and also recently Matt Cardona. Ciccione also put out his own statement on his role in the company. Kind of the footnotes of it is that he's excited to be the new president of TNA. It's just kind of like a lot of executive jargon of kind of being like, oh, I'm excited to work here and I hope to elevate the company in the future. Thank you to Anthem for giving me this position after all my years. And thank you to Scott for everything he did. And then like kind of just bringing up like the stats of like Hard to Kill about how successful it was in Vegas on pay-per-view and in person kind of stuff. Just, you know, the kind of like jargon you'd expect from an executive addressing someone being beloved being fired.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything different, is he, in reality? That's a cut and paste statement that any large organization making that kind of change would put out, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's a control C, control V, and then change a few words to fill in the blanks with TNA. And then there was some other rumors and reports that came out afterwards about apparently that Scott actually approached Anthem with an offer to buy TNA. He apparently was backed by a major banking tech institution and the offer was rebuffed. And then it doesn't give me an exact timeline, but shortly afterwards he was terminated. Based off of my understanding, this was something that had kind of been the works for a bit, like with Rossi and Stardom, where like they were planning on firing Rossi for weeks, and I guess they were kind of looking at that decision for Scott, and then I guess this was kind of like the final straw of like, you know what, we're not gonna have you here anymore. And then just very recently, like just before we started this recording, there is a mass letter from a mass amount of the talent of TNA towards Scott and also the CEO of Anthem, Leonard Esper, saying, "Leonard Scott, TNA/Impact is not just our employer and the company for which we work for. It is a family that each of us has grown to love and cherish and trust with our bodies and our careers, a family for which we feel deeply and that desire above all else to protect. We are deeply saddened by the decision to remove Scott D'Amore from the TNA Impact family. Scott is a brilliant wrestling mind that has guided this company and has it positioned to take the next step upward in our industry. Scott is also so much more than this. He is a trusted friend, confidant, teacher, advisor, brother, and mentor to so many within the TNA Impact family. Scott has been the heart of TNA Impact for over two decades. Lennon Anthem has been instrumental in supporting and building his company back from the ground up. The contributions of Lennon Anthem have never gone unnoticed by anyone in the company, and we want to make sure Len knows this. TNA, simply put, would not have survived without Len and Anthem, not just financially, but with the undying faith in Scott and us to revive the company that was on the brink of death. Len and Anthem are the foundation that TNA has been able to build upon. We would not have made it back to this point without both of you. The fans know this, and the TNA family know this. We come to you to voice our concern for TNA Impact, our family, and its future and direction. We, like you, wish to safeguard that what we have all worked and sweat and bled for to build. We want TNA Impact to continue to grow and to continue to be an inviolable place for all professional wrestlers to work. We understand and appreciate that professional wrestling at its core is a business, and that the company must provide a fiscally responsible, financially viable product. And at the same time, professional wrestling is uniquely situated. The business of professional wrestling is so much more than balance sheets, downloads, and ratings. The wrestling business is and must be its people, its characters, its storylines. That is to say, there is no wrestling business without the wrestling creative vision and the right people bringing the creative vision to life. To thrive, a wrestling company must have both an eye towards business decisions and its finger on the pulse of creative decisions and the ever-changing appetite of our fans. It is in light of this concern and our desire to uphold the standards of TNA Impact that we offer this letter. It is our desire to have a dialogue with you and with the company in an effort to protect the present and the future of TNA Impact for you, for Anthem, for the fans, and for professional wrestlers. We feel strongly that a wrestling person needs to be intimately involved at a high level to ensure that the amazing company we have all built and product we have provided to our fans continues to grow and flourish. It is our opinion that the best possible person for that role was, is, and will be Scott. We recognize that we do not necessarily know all the facts or details around the decision to remove Scott. In life, there is always the rumors, the opinions, and somewhere in between the truth. We rarely get to know which is which. It remains our hope and desire that everyone can set aside the past few days and any hurt feelings or unkind words that may have been exchanged and meet to discuss a path forward that preserves the TNA Impact family we all hold so dearly. We remain steadfast and hopeful that this letter can be a first step to opening and keeping open productive lines of communication to ensure the TNA Impact family continues to be a wonderful, unique place to work for years to come. We ask and implore you both to come together and create a resolution that will reunite this family once again. We look forward to hearing from you and continuing this dialogue. Signed, your TNA family. So it seems that like this is such a big move that is getting a lot of backlash from not just like fans, but also like their own talent. It's like just Stardom has also had a bit of backlash like this, but there hasn't been a whole like, you know, written letter to the company from Stardom talent like this. So as of right now, this is all the news that we have. It'll be interesting to see what Anthem has to say in response to that letter, whether they will maybe reverse the decision of firing Scott, or they will probably won't. They probably just communicate something with the roster and kind of just like tell them like how it's going to go down. But with all this kind of out on the table and everything that we are aware of up to this point, how are we feeling about like the talent, like what the talent have said towards the company?
I think it's an interesting move, isn't it? I don't know whether that was intended to go public, that letter, or whether someone's just leaked it. Quite possibly the latter, but it's a good move. You know, I think there was some indication of that from some of the messages that were posted when it was announced Scott was leaving. You could tell there was a bit of discontent, and you know, you'll be interested to see whether a lot of the talent will be on relatively short-term contracts compared to some of the other organizations. So, you know, will we see a lot of people just not bother to renew their contract and look elsewhere if they're that disgruntled? Or, you know, will Scott come back? Or, you know, Is this a play even to get Scott more leverage and Scott more funding to actually buy the company back from Anthem? I guess it could go one of those ways. It's going to be an interesting few days ahead of No Surrender.
Casey?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that like so many of the talent are like only have jobs there at TNA because of Scott. It just like feels like it just leaves the talent in with a bad taste in their mouth that like the guy that helped them like pay their bills and help put food on the table is just suddenly gone, and at them it just suddenly saying, oh, don't worry about it, this things will be fine. But I was like, how's it things fine? It was like things were fine before. So I completely understand why talent are like completely upset. And honestly, I think, like I said before, that I think a lot more talent would be okay with this change if Scott was still evolved somewhere in the company and not just outright gone.
Yeah, that's kind of another thing that has really been considered, is how would the talent feel if he was still within TNA but like not in the same role? I don't think, like, there would of course be some like outcry if TNA, like, if he was like demoted in TNA. I feel like there would be a lot of people that being like, whoa, hold on, you can't like just do that to Scott. But it wouldn't be like the same, you know, reaction as what we're looking at right now. It's just wild, everything going on with this year. Like, this is just coming days after like the whole Rossi Ogawa thing as well. I feel like the worst for Scott of anything is how he's kind of lost his job, and then like all this news is coming out about him, and then like all the support from the talent that's probably going to lead to nothing, which I hope it leads to something and Scott's able to come back. But I just feel for the guy, because it feels like he's kind of being tugged around a lot with everything going on. It's like hey, like you're fired, and it's like, wait, but we want him back, and kind of all this. And it's like he doesn't really know what the future holds for him, whether he's going to have to go somewhere else or if he's just going to end up coming back to TNA. Is there any further thoughts about like the whole Scott D'Amore firing? Anything like you want to say to Scott in case he stumbles upon this?
Well, I think there's just a plea that, you know, first of all, just for him to be happy whatever he's doing. But, you know, hopefully that's back at TNA. You know, certainly the TNA product's better with him at the helm than it is without him at the helm. I think I'm generally worried that a number of the talent will either not show up for certain shows or decide to leave when their contracts are up, and that will set TNA back several years in terms of the ability to replace that talent. So it's a very uncertain time, I think, for the company.
Yeah. I'm more than certain that like if Scott's not there, talent will leave, whether if it's like sooner or later, they will leave. I just really like, I don't want to like sound like we're like attacking Anthem or anything. Like we don't want to like assume the worst with Anthem, but like the way they started off this year, especially with TNA just coming back and just firing the guy that helped lead the company to get where they are, it's just a really bad start to like this new era, I guess you could say, for the company. So hopefully Anthem truly does want the best for TNA, and they can like they can really help them grow as a company, and maybe they can like turn the talent around.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. You know, Anthem have done a lot for TNA, as the letter says. It's, you know, clear that without Anthem, similarly as it was without Dixie Carter in previous years and Panda, you know, the company wouldn't be here. It's lasted over 20 years, and, you know, I certainly hope it lasts another 20, if not more. It's a great alternative to some of the other promotions that we've got, and a great place for talent to show their skills and gain experience and, you know, gain a fandom. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. I think by the time we record next month's podcast, we'll know a lot more about what's happened.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely have more detail. this is also kind of another thing. It's like, we're not going to see the impact of Scott being gone. Well, it's not yet. We won't see it for probably another couple of weeks as of this recording. Because like they've recorded everything up until No Surrender, and then we'll see kind of, I guess, the effect, some of the effect of Scott being gone at No Surrender itself, and then the weeks following on TV. But it's, yeah, it's just kind of like, this has really affected the everyone in TNA, both talent and backstage people, like, and even former wrestlers who have nothing to do with the company anymore. Like, that's just the effect that Scott D'Amore had on the company. But I think it's fair to say that we can move on to a little bit of a lighter note. And let's talk about something that fantastic that did happen while Scott was still employed, which would be Ospreay versus Alexander. My God, this match. Ospreay just has to always be putting on like top-notch matches at all times. He can't slow down, and it's amazing. This match, usually sequels aren't as good as the original, but oh my God, the sequel is so much better. I didn't think they could get any better, but the sequel was just like levels above the first one. So much stiffer, so much like just not giving a shit about like anything. Table spot with the storm driver. Just so much happened in this match that I'm just having a little bit of trouble even just covering like footnotes of it. What is your guys' thoughts and reactions to the Ospreay versus Alexander 2?
Yeah, I'd echo that it was a lot better than the first one, and probably go as far as to say it was Josh Alexander's best match of his career. Certainly it's quite high up there for Ospreay as well, but it really was a great way to start off the new life of TNA. And, you know, what also got me at the end was just that emotional moment where you can tell Ospreay's a fan of TNA, and just that reaction with Scott D'Amore in the ring and Josh and Ospreay. It was just an emotional moment, and yeah, a great way to end the show.
Oh, 100%. You can tell Ospreay's a fan of TNA. Like, he has gone out of his way to say on like multiple occasions that like TNA, he's a TNA kid. TNA was a big factor into him becoming a wrestler, along with Naomichi Marufuji. That like that company means a lot to him, and wrestling on Impact was one thing, and that was special. But being able to work on an actual like TNA show, that meant the world to Ospreay. It also just meant the world to Scott D'Amore as well, because holy shit, that promo he cut after the match. Like, I don't understand how you can fire a guy after seeing just how much passion he shows on screen. If he shows that level of passion and commitment to the company on screen with this promo and the promo announcing that TNA is back, then like, what is he like, what passion and like commitment is he showing backstage that we're not seeing? It's just, match was mind-boggling. Scott D'Amore being fired is mind-boggling. And there's just a lot of love in the ring just after that match towards Scott, towards each, like respect towards Alexander and Ospreay as well. Casey, what did you think of the match?
Like, it was amazing. Like I said, it was much better than the first one. It was like, it was a really good match. It was so good that like even Meltzer had to like acknowledge that this was a really good match, which that threw me off, because for the longest time Meltzer didn't regard TNA that highly. But like, here he is like giving one of his ratings out, not just like any rating, like the highest rating he ever give for a TNA match. I know like we should take Meltzer's opinion with a grain of salt, but like it's still nice that TNA got some acknowledgement though.
Yeah, I think I just like Meltzer was just not aware that Impact was also TNA. He probably just like, oh man, we'll have a TNA. That's weird. This new company Impact though is on the same channel as them.
Yeah.
And that's why he just like never acknowledged.
No, he watched it because it's before New Japan World, isn't it, on the Access, so he'll be watching it.
I mean, he just has New Japan World. I don't think he actually has cable at this point. What's he gonna watch on cable? Not wrestling. But yeah, that was just a great way to start the year for TNA. Just right after like Hard to Kill, taped the following day, aired a week after, and just was like, it was like a cornerstone, not really a cornerstone. It kind of just like showed like that this was TNA, but this was not the TNA from like 2014. This is like, we're going back to the roots. We're going to put out the best wrestling we can, and we are going to show that we are just at the top of our game once again, like we were when we first started.
Yeah, it was a great crowd for the Snake Eyes taping as well, wasn't it? I think they really helped add to the feel that this was something different.
Oh yeah. It was like just all around, it was a great taping. Like Impact Wrestling was already really strong coming into the return of TNA, but like it feels like they've just like went above and beyond with the actual like return of TNA. But speaking of returning, a little bit of a roller coaster of an episode this month, as we are now going to kind of go to a bit of a down note for TNA. Trinity, formerly known as Naomi, now once again known as Naomi, has left TNA and returned to WWE. She made her return in the Royal Rumble. She got her whole like same theme name back. She got merch release as well, which is kind of a telltale sign that she is done with TNA and going back to WWE. And yeah, she returned in the Royal Rumble, but that wasn't the only TNA surprise in the Rumble, as the fifth entrant in the match was the current Knockout Women's Champion, or Knockout World Champion, Jordynne Grace. So technically two wrestlers under the TNA banner in the Royal Rumble match. They both had really great showings throughout the match. There's a couple of little like dream scenarios with Jordynne Grace kind of coming head to head with like Bianca Belair and stuff. But this, like, despite the high note of having the champion in the Rumble, there is also the low note of losing a great talent like Trinity back to WWE. How are we feeling about Trinity going back to WWE?
And it was a bit strange. Obviously, on last week, as we were taping this show, it was Trinity versus Jordynne Grace in the rematch. So it was a bit strange after seeing Naomi sort of Trinity back in WWE. I think, you know, the Naomi piece was expected. It had been rumoured that she was going to be leaving at the end going to WWE. But Jordynne Grace was a massive shock. You know, when Mickie James was in the Rumble, it was announced in advance. And it felt like that was, although it was sort of exciting and unexpected, it was sort of okay in the sense of, you know, Mickie was a legend in WWE. So it felt like you can see where they're promoting her as a big star. But for Jordynne Grace, with no WWE experience at all, getting that kind of showcase, I thought was fantastic for TNA and fantastic for her.
Yeah, and then like also that's kind of the thing with like Mickie James, Mickie James herself was less of a shock, and the shock actually came from the fact that they let her use Hardcore Country and also bring the Knockouts title into the Rumble match. Yeah, that was more surprising than Mickie James herself being in the match. This, on the other hand, is like, oh shit, Jordynne Grace, like you don't work here, and you have no prior experience of being within this company. This is kind of weird to see you're here, but she did great. TNA released a little like 7-minute documentary thing on YouTube showing her in like lead up to the Rumble and everything. She was saying that she was super excited and stuff. I'm glad that she had a great time and everything. And like you mentioned, yes, they did have a tag match like right after the Rumble. There was the taping of the title rematch between Trinity and Jordynne, which Jordynne retained the Rumble, and then they came back, did the tag match, and then on that Friday SmackDown Trinity, well, now Naomi signed a contract, I put in air quotes because it's on TV, with SmackDown. So just like a whole, like a lot of back and forth between the two companies of being like, oh, hey, you work for us. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, hey, you work for them. Why are you back here? Oh, you're going back. Okay, bye.
I hope that's a good thing, because if social media publicized TNA of Trinity, that's Naomi, you might get a few WWE fans tuning in to watch. So, it's not a bad thing for TNA.
That is true. Yeah, that is true, though, is if like they're watching on cable and stuff, then they can check out TNA if they know where to find it or if they have access to it. But yeah, it is a bit of a blow to TNA, though, losing a talent like that. She was definitely one of the big stars that TNA has, especially in the Knockouts division itself. Casey, what do you make of this?
In terms of losing Trinity, it was expected of her leaving. But I think TNA will be relatively fine, since like it's not unusual for talent to leave. Especially high level talent, they can always build someone else up to replace her. As for Grace, like that was a complete shock. I think you guys saw in like the wrestling Discord, you guys like were like talking about Grace being there. I was like, WTF, and like I was at work at the time, and I decided I'll risk getting fired. I'll watch the Rumble just to watch Grace.
I like that commitment.
Yeah.
Real commitment.
But yeah, Grace being in the Rumble and all was great. Like social media visibility for TNA. It's like, I think it really helped Grace like a lot. It seems like she gained like a whole lot more friends like after being in the Rumble. And I think a lot more eyes are on her. And keeping her as champion is going to bring a lot of eyes to TNA as well. So yeah, overall pretty good.
Yeah, my concern is on the back of Deonna Purrazzo leaving as well. It just leaves the Knockouts division with a bit of rebuilding to do. Obviously, there was some social media exchange between Jordan Grace and Natalya, potentially about a match between the two of them, which if TNA could get someone of that experience level in for a short period of time and get an agreement with WWE for that, that would be amazing. Obviously, with the Scott D'Amore news, I think that's probably less likely now than it was at the time that was originally messaged and posted.
Yeah. Casey said, this is definitely kind of like a 1-2 punch to the Knockouts division of losing Deonna Purrazzo to AEW and now losing Trinity back to WWE. They're definitely going to have to do a lot of restructuring and scouting around the talent. Just to see who can, who they can potentially pick up and build for the future. Very unfortunate as a whole for the Knockouts division, but it's great publicity for both for Trinity Jordan and also TNA having them in the Rumble match. But on the down note of losing talent in the Knockouts division, there is the up note of gaining some talent in the men's division. We saw after the second episode of Impact back under the TNA banner. As the episode was coming to a close, it like kind of like got cut off by this strange video, which was a campaign video for Mustafa Ali to become the next X Division champion. So Mustafa Ali has joined TNA, and he will be challenging Chris Sabin for the X Division title at No Surrender. We will get a bit more into that match when we will preview the whole card in just a bit. But how are we feeling about Mustafa Ali within TNA?
For me, I think he's probably the best signing they could get in the short term. You know, obviously, of the realistic signings who are available, he, for me, was a standout of the WWE releases last year. I've just finished watching a match between him and Leon Slater in Progress Wrestling, and that was fantastic. By all counts, everything he's doing on the indies at the moment is fantastic. The videos he's doing, the campaign videos, are very interesting, very different, and getting a lot of buzz. So it's an amazing signing. I just hope that he's around for the long term and not just a temporary period before someone else signs him.
Yeah, it's honestly wild that like WWE wasn't letting him do this character, because this has been like a fantastic like gimmick that he's been doing since he got released. Like, it's been building, it builds up matches fantastically, with like all like the suspense of him basically running this like campaign and talking all this shit, and then like making promises like, I'll bring back like prestige, and I'll bring back like what pro wrestling should be, I'll make pro wrestling great again within the X division of TNA kind of stuff. And it's a really good character that built is really useful for building up hype for matches, and he doesn't really have to do anything, which is also great, because like, it's just campaigning. He doesn't have to do any of the work. He just has to pay for little ads, a sponsorship for Chris Sabin matches, and have like an alley we trust just like in a like a scroller across the screen when Chris Sabin's wrestling. Just very basic stuff that still does great building for the match. But he wasn't the only signing that TNA has had in the last month. As a Mr. Math Rayol will recognize the next guy that showed up and attacked Josh Alexander. Simon Gotch, on the most recent episode as of this recording of Impact Wrestling, he showed up and attacked Simon Gotch following a match against Allen Angels, before escaping through the crowd and to the bewilderment of commentary, especially Matthew Rayol, who, if you're not aware, is formerly known as Aiden English, former tag partner Simon Gotch in WWE. So, yeah, how are we feeling about Simon Gotch in TNA?
This was like really out of nowhere. I read the like reports online that former WWE talent were at like the last set tapings. Of all the ones I thought would be there, he was not the one I expected. I do know he was like in like pro wrestling in Noah for a while, but like other than that, I did not know what he was doing. So seeing him here and attacking Josh was like really came out left field for me.
Yeah.
I saw him in MLW in a few appearances there, and he looked quite impressive. I like you, was very surprised at seeing him in TNA. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he had just sort of come back as sort of a mid-card type character, but to see him actually start a feud with probably a standout performer in TNA, Josh Alexander, was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, like you said, like the last major thing I knew about with Simon Gotch was he was in MLW and he was part of the what's the faction name? Contra, I think it was. The Contra? Okay. Yeah, that faction with Jacob Fatu and stuff. That was the last thing I knew about him doing stuff. But yeah, him showing up and attacking Josh Alexander and kind of putting himself into a feud with Alexander's big. Now, here's kind of the big question about all this. Do we think that this is going to lead to a reunion of the Vaudevillains in AEW? TNA.
Yeah, I think it will. Matthew Rainwell said that he wants to wrestle a bit more now. You know, it's amazing he hasn't really wrestled much at all in TNA. And, you know, I think that's the natural progression of this at some point, isn't it, for them two to align or even feud at some point. But I think aligning at first and doing a version of the Vaudevillains, obviously they probably can't call themselves that, but, you know, that old school carnival circus style performers was a fantastic gimmick in NXT. It didn't really translate so well to the main roster, but, yeah, they said some memorable matches on takeovers and NXT shows.
Yeah. Casey, I'm sorry. I didn't actually get your thoughts on Ali returning, showing up at TNA. How do you feel about all that?
Oh, I'm really excited. I've been a fan of Ali for like since he was in like the Cruiserweight Classic. It's like fans of Ali knows like he is like a fantastic wrestler and a fantastic performer. And for like whatever reason, WWE just never fully utilized him. And now seeing what he's doing out on the indies and now with TNA, it's like I'm really happy as a fan of him that he finally gets to show the world what he can really do. So yeah, I guess I'm a bit torn about the title match, but we'll talk about it once we like get to the preview for No Surrender.
Oh, interesting. So a lot of like moving parts going on with TNA right now. both in the both on the mat and also behind the scenes. But they do have coming up their next major live show. I would say pay-per-view, but it's kind of like it's on TNA Plus. So I guess they're calling it a premium live event. The first PLE under the TNA banner. No Surrender, February 23rd. This will be coming out before the show airs. So we're just going to do a quick rundown of the matches that have been announced as of this recording. Not too many, just only 5 matches. So shouldn't be too long. But first of all, PCO versus Khan. How do we feel?
Do we really need this? I like PCO. I just think that, you know, I'm not convinced about Khan, but yeah, I'm not sure this is this feels like a weekly TV show match rather than a PLE match.
Yeah, it feels like I guess like TNA decided to do away with the design. I don't blame them. The design wasn't nowhere near as good as Violent by Design, and they're now just trying to figure out what to do with both Diener and Khan. And I guess right now they think, let's have two big men just fight each other.
Yeah, exactly. That's the vibe I'm getting from this match as well. Big men slap meat and people think good. But yeah, it's interesting to see how TNA builds up Khan. He was really good as a tag team with the Dissension in WWE. And then it was kind of like they got called to the main roster and everything went to shit. And then he's kind of just there, and then he got released, and then he was kind of just there in TNA. So now that they've split up the design, they seem like they're going to give him a bit more of like a mid-card push, as like a big, like scary, heel. But yeah, as for this match, I'm kind of like impartial about it. It's a good break from in between some other great matches, but yeah. But next up, we do have a rematch from Hard to Kill, the first, of two. It is Decay defending the Knockouts tag titles against MK Ultra. This one actually being announced, unlike the Hard Kill match. How are we feeling about a rematch, folks?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to see where else they could go at the moment with the Knockouts tag division. It should be a good match. You know, I can see MK Ultra getting the titles back again at this point. I think they're probably the best team to hold them at the moment. And, you know, I think that'll be interesting to see how this feud continues between the two teams.
Casey?
Yeah, it'll be a fine match. I was thinking, do I want to see MK Ultra as tag champs again? Because if they want to like shake things up in the Knockouts tag division, and to like help like fill the massive void of TNA losing Deonna and Trinity, I feel like it would be best to keep the belts on Decay and hopefully lead either Masha or Killer Kelly towards like a singles push towards the Knockouts world title.
Yeah, I'm also kind of hoping for a split, like not like a split, but definitely like a like work apart from each other for a bit. Just like do your own thing for a bit, because like both of them are really good. They're both great as a tag team. But they're also great singles competitors, and I would love to see them do like some more singles work within this year. But moving on, next up, we have Chris Sabin versus Mustafa Ali for the X Division title. I am excited for this one. Ali is fantastic in the ring. It'll be great to see what he does with his character in the ring. And Chris Sabin's also fantastic, and these guys are just gonna go out there and put on a really good match.
Yeah, of the amount of the night so far, this is the one that's most likely to steal the show, isn't it, from the 5 matches we have. So, yeah, it's interesting. I know Ali signed for several dates with TNA, according to his social media, so it'll be interesting to see if they give him the title at this point or if they continue a feud between the two of them.
Yeah. Casey, what was your thoughts on Ali that you wanted to address earlier?
Well, because like as a big fan of Ali, I want him to do the best. So obviously, I want him to win the X Division title. But that leads to the problem of like a problem TNA always have is like, hey, we got this former WWE guy coming in. Let's immediately give him the title. I was like, do we really need to do that? Because, well, sometimes it made sense. Like when they gave the Iconics the Knockouts tag titles, because it makes sense to give the Knockout tag title, like the women tag titles, to these two women. And I'm thinking the same can be applied here with Ali, because like Ali can take that belt, go all over the world with it, doing indie stuff with the title, and he'll be like a great representative for TNA and have a short reign. And then and if he decides to go elsewhere, he can like drop it to someone else as he leaves.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting argument about like if Ali wins the title. I wouldn't actually have too much of a problem if Ali were to beat Chris Sabin. It's not like it's a thing where like Chris, you know, Chris Sabin's like this is like his first reign as the champion stuff. Like Chris Sabin's like a what, 8-time X Division champion or something. Like it's, I don't think this would hurt anyone if either of these guys go over, but I especially don't think that it would be that bad for anyone if it was Ali who beats Sabin.
You can certainly see Ali having sort of defenses against Trey Miguel, against people, Mike Bailey. There's lots of potential opponents for him, isn't there? So it'll be quite fresh to have those matches is for the X Division title, whereas Sabin's fought most of those and had feuds with most of those over the past couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Like it would just kind of like not freshen it up, but it's not like a thing of like, oh god, we're recycling the same matches over and over again anyway. So it would be nice to see Ali kind of as champion and get to have those kind of like dream matches within the X Division, like with guys like Mike Bailey, Trey Miguel, etc. So I would be down for him to win the title. He doesn't necessarily have to win the title to have those matches, but him holding that championship would like give more incentive for him to be able to have those matches. But next up on the card, we do have a match that has been kind of like put in the works from Hard to Kill. Jordynne Grace will be defending her Knockouts world title against the Ultimate X winner, Giselle Shaw. Shaw won the Ultimate X match at Hard to Kill for this opportunity. She's cashing in right away with no surrender. How are we feeling about Grace versus Shaw again?
Yeah, I guess we saw this match coming after, as you say, after Hard to Kill. It seemed a logical match for this show. It's difficult to see how Jordynne Grace is going to lose on the back of her Rumble appearance and the fact she'd only been champion a month. So, but it should be a good match. You know, Giselle Shaw is very talented. We've got the natural outside interference that will come as part of the match just to add a bit of jeopardy, but I can't see any other outcome than Jordan retaining.
Yeah, it would definitely be a shock if Giselle beats Jordan, especially since like this reign has already been really short. But at the same time, it would be a really huge move if Giselle were to beat Jordan. Casey, how you feeling?
Yeah, I think they're gonna have Giselle be like one of Knockouts to fill the void of like Deonna and Trinity leaving. But I feel like now's not the time for her to do that. I think TNA really needs Grace to be their Knockouts champion for like, I'd say like most of the year. I'd say Grace should be losing that title either by like Slammiversary or Bound for Glory. But like right now, she needs the title.
Yeah. Especially like as we mentioned earlier, with the loss of both Trinity and Deonna Purrazzo, there's not a whole like there's a bit of a hole in the Knockouts division right now. So it does make sense that Jordynne would retain here. However, Giselle Shaw, I feel like if she did win the title, she would be a great champion. I've seen her wrestle in person before. She's really good in the ring. It was against Maki Ito, so it was going to be a good match regardless. So if she did win the title here, I wouldn't be like mad. I would just kind of be like shocked and like be like, wow, really? They like Jordynne's already lost the title. Interesting move. But moving on to our main event. Actually, just before we get into the main event, there's a match that hasn't been announced, but I have a very strong feeling that it's going to happen at the No Surrender. So right now, Grizzly Young Vets are in a best of three series against ABC for the TNA tag titles. As of this recording, they're about to have match number two on Impact. And I have a feeling that because GYV won the first match, ABC is going to win the second match. And then the final match of the best of three is going to happen at No Surrender. Yeah, how are we feeling?
Definitely, yeah.
How are we feeling about this best of three so far? And what are our thoughts on the third match happening at No Surrender, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, the first match was great. I'm sure the second match will be great. And the third match will be great. They're both fantastic teams. It's sort of the logical way to build a three-match series, isn't it, to have them 1-1 and go into a decider at the main show. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess there's a question of, are the Grizzly Young Veterans around long-term, or is this just a short run as a set of opponents to put ABC over? I don't know.
I wish they're around long-term. GYV is a great tag team. They, like, if they were to leave and go to AEW, I'd be more than okay with that. But I feel like they would just be a really strong fit within TNA and have a bit more freedom to work other dates in comparison to AEW. Like, they, of course, would be able to work indies and stuff within AEW. It's just like they would be able to do a little bit more with TNA. And I feel like with TNA, they would also be able to work, if they want to, go work New Japan more often than they would with AEW. So I want them to stay within TNA just for benefits of us as fans. And I would love if they win the titles, because I like ABC is a fantastic tag team. They're one of my favorite tag teams right now. But like, we gotta get the belts off. They need to take a break. They need a, we need new tag champions. They can challenge, go have X Division title matches and stuff. We just kind of need a little bit of a fresh, like a bit of a refresher of the tag division. Casey, what are your thoughts?
I'm like thinking the opposite. I think they need to keep the titles on ABC. So because there's still plenty of fresh matchups they can do with them. There's like, they can always like run back the Rascals. It seems like they're gonna have Speedball Mountain be a thing for a while, so they can face them. I would like to see another match between ABC and Jet Setters, Kevin Eye and Kushida. So it's like, I can understand that, like, it can be like a bit still ABC is the tag champs, but there's still more they can do as the champs.
Oh yeah, like there's more matches they can definitely put on. But yeah, it's like a bit of like a middle ground of like, there's more matches they could put on, but at the same time though, they've held the championships for the most of last year, except for like the little bit where they lost it to like subculture and the Rascals and stuff. But other than that, there has been a whole lot of them without the titles. But speaking of titles, moving on to the main event of No Surrender, Moose versus Alex Shelley for the title, for the world title, No Surrender Rules. Would either of you like to kind of explain how No Surrender Rules works for anyone who's unfamiliar?
Well, pretty much the way TNA explained it, Moose and Shelley will have both have quarter men. Moose will have the system with them. Shelley will have Kushida and Kevin Knight in his corner. And basically, they will fight until one their opponent's corner man throws in a title like for the person they're representing. So it's like an interesting twist of like a I quit match, if you say.
Yeah. Like, it's like I quit match or like a submission match, but instead of like you giving up, it's like the people who are on your side deciding if you should give up by just like tossing in a towel for you. So it's gonna be interesting to see
the Bob Backlund, Arnold Skoland finish went back and lost the WWF title. But yeah, it's an interesting concept. And I mean, you can't see that Moose won't win. It's just a question of who in Shelley's corner throws the towel in.
Yeah, like who would have more empathy for him between Kushida and Kevin Knight? And would it be a thing where maybe like Chris Sabin comes to throw the towel in kind of stuff?
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
A lot of
Kevin Knight turns heel or something like that as well. That's a possibility. Yeah,
a lot of questions and theories going in towards this matchup. But yeah, sacrifice. I was doing this before we went live. I just kept calling No Surrender Sacrifice. But No Surrender shaped up to be a good card. More matches expected to be announced, most likely, especially since they do have a pre-show as well. But yeah, so I think what else we got this month? Hey, you guys have anything you guys want to address about TNA? Like anything? Like maybe like some like indie matches from talent that are worth checking out.
I've been watching some of GCW, so there's been some heavily featured talent there, especially in sort of the JCW tournament. And that was very good. So it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it. Some great matches from Masha Slamovich and Speedball Mike Bailey as well. He had a great match against the great Cesarka, which was a wild match involving a bar. And lots of drinks. So yeah, that's worth checking out if you haven't seen that. That's something I'd recommend.
Speedball versus Great Sasuke. Never thought I'd see that match. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that was not on my watch list for this year, but Great Sasuke was impressive, I have to say. I haven't seen him wrestle for many years, but that was an incredible performance from him.
Yeah, it was very very strange kind of match. I don't think it's not even like a thing of like I didn't expect to see it this year. It's like I didn't expect to see this match ever. The match with Great Sasuke. Casey, you got any indie matches that are worth checking out from any of the TNA talent?
No, I've been like really busy with work, so I haven't got a chance to check out any of the matches I want to see.
Ah, damn. Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that basically covers this month's episode of TNT, unless there's anything that any of you guys want to throw in last second.
No, I think we covered all the main points and interested to see what's going to happen next with the Scott D'Amore situation.
Yeah. Hopefully we will have a update by the next episode next month. But I think that will do it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard and want to check out more of the Wrestling Network of podcasts, you could do so by searching Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts. If you want even more wrestling content, you can follow us on Twitter at Wrestling and subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/Wrestling for early access to all of our interviews and podcasts, along with exclusive shows you can't find anywhere else. If you want more content from any of the voices you heard today, you can follow me on Twitter at Fusa Balor.
And you can follow me at SteveHoward1972.
And you can follow me at KC_Farsa1763.
And if you want to chat with us along with other members of the wrestling team and community, you can join the Discord link via our website at wrestlein.com. This has been Total Nonstop Talking, and we will see you next month. And thank you, Scott D'Amore.